this next interview is going to be a lot of fun. This is the show where nothing is off topic. We love just doing anything and everything on this show, and this next one is just going to be a real treat. This gentleman was kind enough to furnish his own bio for this. We have it up at thefdhlounge.com, and I shall read it right now, and we have links in to the sites that he mentions in here. Craig Newmark is the founder of Craigslist.org, a site where people can help each other with everyday needs, including housing and jobs. He's also working with a wide range of groups using the net to help each other out, like DonorsChoose.org, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, Kiva.org, and LendForPeace.org, which does microfinance, and Consumer Reports. Craig is also actively engaged with government workers on multiple levels to use the net for superior public service and with Sunlight Foundation for government accountability and transparency. He's not as funny as he thinks he is, but sometimes can't help himself. Follow Craig on his blog at cnewmark.com or twitter.com/CraigNewmark and facebook.com/CraigNewmark. And having said that, let's bring in Craig Newmark. Craig, it's a true pleasure to have you on
the show. Hey, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you here, and as I found out from you this week via email, and this was something that I was seeing anyways.
Guys,
I
can't hear anything right now.
Pardon? Okay. I found out this week, of course, that you had attended Case Western in our town here, so Cleveland being, of course, the flagship city for the Sports Talk Network. So why don't you basically, let's start by tracing that. You got your graduate and, I believe, your postgraduate work done at Case Western in the mid to late 70s, and then it was about an 18-year journey or so until you started Craigslist. So what was your professional life leading up to the founding of Craigslist?
Okay. I can answer that. But if someone can turn the volume up, that would help me out a lot.
Oh, sure. We'll try to do that.
Okay. The deal is that, you know, I went for went to Case Tech, you know, from Case Western for about 5 years. And after that, I spent about 17 years with IBM. You know, it was pretty good. I spent most of those years as a so-called systems engineer, you know, basically as a kind of consultant on technology. For the last 16 years, well, couple of years at Charles Schwab, the discount brokerage, you know, figuring that do-it-yourself investing is pretty good. And then beyond that, that's when I started Craigslist versus a hobby while I was doing, you know, programming for under contract. And then for the last 14 years or so, that's been Craigslist. The last 10 years or so has been full-time on Craigslist. Nowadays, what I do is customer service on Craigslist. I figure we now have a team of programmers who are all better than me, but I'm really good at customer service.
And that's something that I've seen in interviews, Craig, where the question's been put to you about why you're in customer service and why that's what you've chosen to do with it. I think, as somebody who's an aspiring entrepreneur myself, I think I have a sense of why you like to do that, because my sense is that you're focusing on what's probably the most important part of Craigslist. You're focusing on, I think, a core part of the business and what people relate to and everything. Is it important for you to be personally involved with what's probably the defining aspect of your company?
Well, it's important to me to follow through with my commitments. You know, I'm like basic values. The deal is that, as odd as it sounds, I really do believe you want to treat people like you want to be treated. And it's easy to say that. The important part is following through. So my doing customer service is my way of doing that.
Well, I think that makes perfect sense. And I think the company has been very responsive over the years to concerns that people have had. I think you've been very proactive in addressing these things, and certainly I'm sure that's something that you take a lot of pride in, the fact that that has been something where you being personally involved, you've been able to have that kind of an impact in that way.
I'm trying, and again, I'm not consciously trying to have an impact. What I'm basically trying to do is follow through. Now, some people say that that's affected them. Hey, that works for me.
Sure, because there's so much that you know that the site has been able to do, and It's become one of the most highly used and popular websites in the world, according to Wikipedia, for whatever that's worth. It said it was ranked seventh as of in the world as of March 17th of this year. So the impact of it is just absolutely untold. This is something where, with again, what I'm curious to know what your initial thoughts were. You know, in 95, again, it started as this, you know, project. I don't know if I'd want to call it hobby. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But essentially, what were you envisioning as the ceiling for it when this started out as kind of a side project? What did you think was the highest it could plausibly get to?
Well, I prefer to have as few thoughts as possible. And, you know, whenever someone talks about any vision I had, I remind them that I have no vision. This started off as a hobby. I figured I would help get the word out about arts and technology events in San Francisco, you know, because that would be kind of fun. And then people made suggestions, and I did some of them. Then people made more suggestions, and I did some of them, all the while trying to do what felt right. And, you know, I just did that for 3-4 years. It took off, you know, through word of mouth. At the end of 3 or 4 years, it was time to make it into a real company. I did that. Then I realized that my skills as a manager, well, are kind of limited, which is to say, as a manager, I suck. And then I turned it over to Jim Buckmaster, who's a really good manager. He continued with the same values. And as a result, we got something going that helps out a lot of people.
It really has.
Craig, this is Ryan. The question I have is on that same line. How amazed are you at how big Craigslist has become? And, I mean, it seems like every time I turn on the internet and I go to a website, it seems like I can always find a link to Craigslist on just about every website that I go to.
Yeah, it feels pretty good to know that, you know, we've helped out many tens of millions of people. That feels good. It's a little flattering. And then it's back to work.
Well, and that's what allows you, you know, obviously to keep going like that. The fact that you guys don't, you know, waste the time to pat yourselves on the back. You just get up and go to work every day and, you know, keep plugging away at it. And the thing I think has just been amazing, and one of the things that probably people are most grateful for is the business model of this site, that you guys have resisted the urge to basically try and sell off everything for the last penny here, that this thing, it's almost incomprehensible to me that, you know, I bet north of 99.9% of the users of this site have never paid a dime for their services on it. And you guys have been able to thrive and prosper, and everybody wins. It's just one of those utopian sort of stories, it seems like.
It's pretty basic from our point of view. You know, sure, we got to run as a serious business. You know, we got to pay the bills, and, you know, it's nice to provide for one's future. But I don't get, on a gut level, what's the point in making a lot more. I mean, we run as a business, and we run as a community service. Same time, sure, we want to do well. But, you know, I've had my car for 7 years, and don't see any need for a new one.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect way to look at things, I think, here. You know, waste not, want not. And I think there are a lot of us that could kind of relate to that.
I agree. The deal is that, you know, there's people who are kind of suffering in our country, and it seems to me a better use of my time to try to help out a little bit.
Craig, also on that note, I mean, have you found that with the struggling economy that we've had in America the last couple of years, that you've received, you know, more hits and you've been able to help more people now that the economy is down as bad as it is compared to what it was a few years back?
Yeah, it sounds unfortunate, but we've seen increases in people selling stuff on the site, sometimes getting rid of stuff to make a few dollars. We've also seen that in the last couple of years, our barter section has increased in volume, something like tripled in the last couple years. The idea is that, well, there's still jobs out there, but of course those are the ones which need unusual skills. Meanwhile, people are trying to make do the only way they can, and I figure we should do what we can to help out.
Well, in terms of that also, too, I'm wondering how much of your philosophy on getting involved with newer media entities is pegged to the notion here that there have been a lot of people have pointed out about classifieds being part of the life's breath of a lot of newspapers out there. The newspaper industry is really kind of circling the drain in a lot of ways. Classifieds have been declining at the same time that Craigslist has been coming up and really filling that and doing probably a better job of it than newspaper classifieds have done anyways here. So does that in any way animate your efforts to try to get involved with newer, fresher, more creative media entities that are coming up here to try to help some things to come up and fill the void that some of these newspaper dinosaurs, as they're going away, some of these other things are coming up?
Well, there's a whole bunch of issues in there. Again, I'm not an expert by any means in the newspaper industry, but I do know that the magnitude of the effect we've had on newspapers has been greatly exaggerated. What seems to be more important is the whole big issue of trust. Mm-hmm. That is, when you're reading news, you know, how can you trust that it's been fact-checked, that it's not been slanted or biased in some way? To me, that's the big issue. I like to tell people that trust is the new black, at least fashion-wise when it comes to newspapers. And that whole issue of trust, plus the need for good investigative reporting, plus the need to keep preserving journalism jobs, that motivates me. I mean, we need a trustworthy press to survive as a democracy. And so I've been trying to get behind some of the efforts on the part of news people who've been proven really trustworthy and who've been trying to figure out new business models for journalism.
Well,
the best example is Jeff Jarvis out of the City University of New York.
Yeah, he's been doing some really interesting things there. I like to read his blog. His media criticism is always something that's very thought-provoking. Similarly, too, you've done some work getting involved with, and as I read from the bio, let's expand on that a little bit as well, with government transparency. And I'm always fascinated, as somebody who's on one side of the political spectrum, occasionally there are things where I will agree more so with the opposite point of the spectrum than maybe the folks in the middle. And I think government transparency is one of those issues right there, because I think that whether you believe in a larger government or a smaller government, an ineffective, bloated government serves no one. And I think that the efforts that you're doing in that way, those are things that both the left and the right seemingly could get behind, and you can't say that about too many issues.
Well, yeah, the deal with all this is to get some accountability in government. We're asking that people tell us more about the way things really work. Like if someone's making campaign contributions, what are they getting for it? Are they getting some legislation or maybe some contracts for their client? The idea is to put all that government data online, show what's happening, and then maybe we can make some progress. The deal is that the new administration in Washington is heavily behind us. They're getting out a lot of data showing where the money goes. The only people against it seem to be some of the Senate minority leadership, where they've been actively blocking some of this stuff.
Yeah, that is that's pretty much, I think, consistent with McConnell's position over the years, and he was against McCain-Feingold and some of the other things as well here. So I guess he's nothing if not consistent on that. But yep. In terms of these substantive issues that you are involved with, and we read off the list before, you know, DonorsChoose.org, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, Kiva.org, LendForPeace.org, which does microfinance, which is a very innovative approach with helping to grow the third world, of course, Consumer Reports. What I find interesting, having done some research on past interviews that you've given or features that have been done on you, I'm sure that this has to be kind of frustrating to you, that there's a focus sometimes on things that are less substantive in terms of, I've seen the question come up any number of times, you know, like, oh, how much money have you made off of this thing? And, oh, you must be doing fine. And I would think that any baboon would realize that, obviously, you know, you guys have done fairly well with this, whatever. I don't think the public necessarily needs to know to the penny what that is. This is still a free enterprise economy here. And You know, that question as it comes up, I mean, that has to be frustrating because, I mean, I subscribe to the point of view that it's nobody's business.
I know what you mean. We're a private company. We do well for a lot of people. You know, right now it looks like we're helping out at least 50 million people every month. And some people come and some people go. So the site has helped, well, let's say it's helped other people give each other a break in large numbers. We just keep plugging away. I've tried to tear my way from myself away from the screen for a few minutes, so I'm not distracted by customer service while we talk. But when we're done, it's back to customer service. Right now I'm watching my birds on the bird feeders.
Well, and I don't want to keep you from that too much longer, sir, but let me just ask you, let's go to something here, because we love to talk about all kind of different subjects on this show here, even sometimes, ones that are less commonly understood or discussed. Please expound for a bit, for those who don't really understand the concept of microfinance. I know a little bit about it, and I find it interesting from the little that I do know. This lendforpeace.org that you're involved with, the kind of impact that that has in third world areas.
Well, the deal is that what the Internet allows us to do is to just pool together money for stuff we might believe in. It makes it easier on the net because your audience is in the millions. Now, that can be used, let's say, to help out a small businessman in India or the West Bank or in the U.S. Microfinance is about that. People pool money together. They fund loans for people who need a break, who are creating jobs. And, you know, if you got a job, you're not going to be out there throwing rocks at people. So lendforpeace.org helps fund small businessmen strictly in the West Bank. I'm also involved with Kiva and CHF International. They do the same thing for the West Bank, although Kiva in general supports a lot of the whole world. But this is not a new idea. It's just like if people at their office pool money to help someone out. Same thing. The difference is that the Internet allows you to draw on a much bigger audience so that you can do things across the world where people are helping each other out. That's a big deal.
It's a way to leverage technology, yeah, in a way to be able to help people and an innovative way to go about it. And, Craig, you know, We always encourage our guests to plug some things here on the show. So, I mean, we've plugged a couple of different things here thus far. If there's anything that we have failed to cover or any aspects of Craigslist that you'd like to talk about anymore, please take this opportunity, sir.
Well, you mentioned that, like, I'm involved with the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. These are the guys who are helping get the job done for returning troops. The deal is simply that, you know, IAVA, and it's at IAVA.org, they help get the new GI Bill passed. They've got some back pay passed, done for stop-loss troops. They're working on better funding for the Veterans Administration. A lot of things like this are happening now because we now have an administration in place which is serious about supporting veterans, and I'm helping in other ways, too, in over my head, but, you know, that's a way of life for me.
Well, again, the thing that just strikes me, Craig, the thing that kind of sums up the way that I see Craigslist, I go back to the financial crisis that really hit full force a year ago this week, actually, with the collapse of Lehman Brothers September 14th of last year, the mortgage issues prior to that. And I'm a huge free market guy, but I looked at that and I'm one of these guys who says, who will save capitalism from the capitalists? And I think the way that you guys go about what you do, nobody will ever say that about Craigslist. I don't think anybody ever will, Craig. We applaud the way that you guys go about what you're doing with your company. It was a pleasure to have you on, sir. We'd love to do it again sometime.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and you take care.
Thank you very much, Craig. Craig Newmark, everyone, from Craigslist.org. Yes, that Craig.